Earlier this week, after getting back from California, I turned on the TV, and I'm sure you will never believe what I saw. If I ever had any doubt about the realistic nature of the end times, the end of the world as we know it, certainly the television coverage this week has pointed me in another direction. The storm that we are talking about has been described with more adjectives than Sue Villarosa uses to describe the Big Din. This is an absolutely horrendous, one-of-a-kind, can't-be-missed storm that is upon us. And unlike the Big Din, our event for next week, I'm not sure with this one your satisfaction can be guaranteed. Now, my friends, this is a serious storm. Nearly 50 people have lost their lives already as this has made its way through the Caribbean from the winds and the torrential rains. If it's anything like Irene, which we experienced last year, many of us will be without power for some portion of this week. And as weather forecasting has progressed, those impending tales of doom that they were telling us earlier in the week may in fact come to some level of truth and reality. But none of it will happen before 6 o'clock tonight when you will be here for the Kirtan Mass. That said, I do urge you in these next couple of days after the Kirtan Mass to stay inside, stay home. And, you know, most of us are blessed enough to live in structures that are strong enough to withstand this wind and rain. Unfortunately, much of that rain will be accumulating in our basements. But other than that, we should be safe. It is just stuff. It is just stuff, and that is not what is really important. Now, despite the danger and threat that Sandy poses, I will also readily admit to being absolutely fascinated by this storm and other big storms. I found myself running back home to, and I don't watch TV much, but I find myself running back home to catch another 15 or 20 minutes of the Weather Channel to see if anything's changed from the last time they were reporting on things, checking on it in every way, shape, size, and form. And as much as I'm fascinated by the science of it and the power of it, I am a little bit tired of all of these grave warnings about how this is just absolutely an unprecedented threat. If you think about it for a minute, if this had been a century ago, this storm would sort of sneak up on us. You wouldn't have had satellites showing you what was going on. You wouldn't have radar telling you what was going on. You wouldn't have hurricane hunters flying in airplanes to give us the latest readings. We would sort of be entering this storm blind. And now, we can see it all much more clearly. I have three different weather websites bookmarked on my computer, each with a dozen maps, radar, and satellite images, multiple computer models telling me everything I need to know and more. If you're not a big computer fan, every station on television seems to have something about this impending storm. Last night, I'm trying to practice my other religion, watching Notre Dame football, and they're interrupting that to tell me about the weather, which I, of course, had on my computer screen sitting next to me. I knew already. And the different kinds of warnings that we get from the weather station. The Weather Channel is so proud of themselves right now because they've got this new exclusive alert index. At the beginning part of the week, we were supposed to be alert. And then we had to be aware. And now we're supposed to take action. I have no idea what's next after that. The governor has come up and declared a state of emergency. The National Hurricane Center and Weather Service have issued this myriad of warnings, from a high wind warning to a flood warning to a tropical storm watch to a tropical storm warning. And then I was watching a clip on the Weather Channel, and as the announcer talked, one warning after another flashed on the screen. Wet leaves will create slippery road conditions. Lawn furniture may move and cause damage. Take action now on the eastern seaboard. Fallen leaves will clog drains and flood roadways. The number of these things flashing on the screen was almost blinding. So we're not blind to this storm in the same way our forebears were, say, a century ago or more, but we are blind and numb to it in a whole new 21st century kind of way. Blind from too much information, too many possibilities, too many warnings to be able to take them all in. It is the typical confusing blindness that faces us today on so many different aspects of our lives. We have too many choices. Some are good, some are bad, some are indifferent, but the sheer number of them causes blindness. You stop seeing the messages when there are that many of them coming in that many different ways. Sometimes we can only ask to see the right answer more clearly. And I think about that in terms of this gospel story today, a gospel story about a different kind of blindness. Even though it's a story from 2,000 years ago, it relates to us and where we are today. And no, most of us in this room are not walking around physically blind, but we have these other parts of our lives that make us blind, make us unable to see the things that we're supposed to see in the ways that we're supposed to see them. In this story, Jesus and his posse are rolling through Jericho. They're trying to get out of Jericho, no doubt heeding the governor's warning for an emergency evacuation order or something. But this blind beggar calls out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And as he's calling out, the people in the crowd do what so many of us do. Tell him to be quiet. He's not saying the right thing. He's not doing the right thing. But he keeps calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus says, "I want to talk to this guy." And so he springs up and he comes over to Jesus. And Jesus asks him this question. It's a question that Jesus asks each of us. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus' answer is so wonderfully simple. Let me see again. Let me see again. So let's talk about both this question and this answer for a minute. This question, what do you want me to do for you? Here is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who's given us everything in some ways. But Jesus asks us this question every day. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus begs us to ask him, to tell him what we need, to tell him what we need to be whole, to tell him what we need to be full. Jesus wants to engage us in this conversation. Jesus is not like the crowd telling the beggar to step away. Jesus is inviting us in, inviting us to ask for what we need. Now, one of the challenges in this world that we live in with all of this information that we're overwhelmed by is I think it's sometimes hard for us to see Jesus. And sometimes hard for us to see this Jesus who is asking us this wonderful question. What do you want me to do for you? And we have a role in this. As Jesus' hands and feet and voice in the world today, this is the question that we are called to ask our neighbors, to find out the different ways that we can serve. What do you want me to do for you? Sometimes we come in and offer a serve thinking we know the answers, thinking we have all the right answers. We may not. We need to ask the question of the person sitting next to us, of the person living next to us, of the person on the train next to us, what do you want me to do for you in the name of the Christ who loves us so much? It could open us up to a whole new possibility of ways to serve. And I think as we think about this storm coming up, and so often in disasters that happen, we see the best in other people as they ask this question and serve in the name of Christ. What do you want me to do for you? But then I want to think a little bit about Bartimaeus' response to Jesus and what that means for us also. He says to Jesus, "Let me see again." Think back to all of the information that we have and how we are blinded. Even when we ask the questions, we have trouble seeing what the clear answer is. The answer in our lives that is calling us to serve God in some new and powerful way. The answer in our lives that is calling us to serve God in some way that will fill us in a different way. Let me see again. We think we may have at our fingertips all the information in the world. We can Google it. We can ask the question. We can get the answers. But that may not be what helps us see what we really need to see. What opens both our eyes and our hearts to where God is calling us to serve. So as much as this is the answer that Jesus gives to Bartimaeus and lets him see, this is what we are also asking of our Christ. And it's why we are coming together in this place. Because we also want to know, we want to see clearly what it is we are supposed to do. What it is that God is calling us to. What I love about this passage, what I love about this interaction with Jesus, what I love about our ongoing interaction with Jesus is it's based on this fundamental question and answer. We have a Savior who serves us and wants to serve us. We have a Savior who wants to open our eyes to all that is around us, wants us to see more clearly how much we are loved and how much we are cared for. As this storm continues to bear down on us in this interesting way, it is very possible that the eye of the storm will pass right over us. It's an interesting thing, a phenomenon that I've never really experienced, but in a storm like this, the most powerful, swirling, damaging winds are right around the eye. And then the eye is this space of clearness, this place of clarity, this place where we can see again. It is in that eye of the storm that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, surrounds those who are there. My friends, what we can ask of Jesus is that we can see again, that we can open our eyes to the goodness of God that surrounds us, the goodness of the world around us. And what we can do for each other is ask this question that Jesus asks: what do you want me to do for you? Amen.